listen to me, lads. Listen to me, boys. Jones, you can't get away with this. If you refuse to work this ship, then it's mutiny. Mutiny on the high seas.
Then see that we're allowed ashore at Papeete, Mr. Cregan.
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
Now look, Jones, you really don't care a hoot about going ashore at Papeete. And you know it, and I know it. This is only an excuse to get out of doing your duty. I'm ordering you back to work now. If I have to send for the skipper, you're going to regret this. Every last man of ye.
When the quartermaster came racing up to the bridge to inform the skipper that there was trouble in the engine room, that Seaman Jones was leading a gang of stokers who'd refused to work the ship any longer, Goddard sent for the second officer to take over the watch, and we raced below. By midday, we were due in Papeete to bunker for the run to Panama. But the skipper and I knew we'd be detained there while the police investigated the deaths of Miller and Blake. Cregan had warned me to expect trouble from the men unless the unknown killer aboard the Tangmar was found. But this was something new. A near mutiny because no shore leave was to be allowed at Papeete. It looked to me as if Seaman Jones had decided to settle some old scores. In the engine room, we found Chief Engineer Cregan pleading with his men to return to duty.
All right, let's have it. Who's the ringleader, Cregan?
I am, Skipper, but don't get any ideas. You're not taking it out on me. We're standing together. That right, boys?
Is that so?
And we won't mind talking with you, Skipper. Might get somewhere, but we don't want that slimy copper down here. Right, men?
Right. Mr. Kendall, to you, Blickhorn.
He ain't no first officer, sir. We know all about him. Jones told us the whole story. Spying on us, asking questions, signed up in the murders on us, he is.
And because he ain't a good enough copper to find the killer, we're expected to lose our shore leave. Well, it ain't good enough, Skipper.
Now, look, Jones, I'm going to...
Hold it, Cregan. I'll handle this. So you refuse to work the ship unless I allow you all ashore at Papeete, is that it?
It is.
Mr. Cregan, is it necessary that we go to Papeete? Could we make Panama without bunkering there?
Aye, we could, but...
You're sure of that, Mr. Cregan?
But, Skipper, we've got to go to Papeete, and you know it.
And I fully intend to, Mr. Kendall, much as I wanted to bypass it. But you can see what we're up against as well as I can. Jones, I'm the only man on this ship who gives the orders. And I'm ordering you now to return to your duty. Is that clear?
Supposing we don't want to do that, Skipper. Yeah.
The rest of you feel the same way?
Yeah. There's a jinx on the Tangmar, Skipper.
Yeah.
There's been two murders, and they ain't been sold. Well, I'm leaving the Tangmar in Papeete, and that's all there is to it.
And those of us who ain't leaving are going ashore when we feel like it. I got friends in Papeete, Skipper.
Shut up, you lazy, troublemaking lower deck rat. We're not going to Papeete, Jones. Does that settle the first part of your complaint?
Now, wait a minute.
Mr. Cregan thinks we can make Panama without bunkering, and that's what we're going to do. I'm not running the risk of any one of you leaving the ship. To get this voyage over, I need a crew. I've got one, of a sort. Even though looking at this bunch of frightened old women, I find that hard to believe.
And I say we're either going to Papeete or nowhere.
Is that so? Well, first off, I want to tell the rest of you the kind of man you've been listening to. The kind of murderous dog you've allowed to sway you away from your duty. Do you know why Jones is making trouble?
Oh, it isn't because
he's on your side. It's because since the night he attacked Mr. Kendall with a knife, I've seen that he's been too darn busy to take a knife to anyone again.
What? What are you talking about, Skipper?
Let's ask Mr. Kendall there.
It's a lie, and I can prove it.
The skipper's right, men. Jones discovered that I was an Interpol agent and tried to stab me in the back. Just a few nights after we left port. Then he tried to claim the skipper had put him up to it.
You're a rotten liar, Kendall. I'm going to kill you.
Get him apart, men!
No, Skipper. Keep back. You started this, Jones. And this time I can see you.
Break over, right up. Keep back that line, Skipper. Back that line.
I should have finished you that first time.
This time they'll be down there.
You're on your own, Jones. Just you and me. You've had this coming for a long time. Oh, don't say you've had enough. Do I have to hold you up? Come on, man, fight. Get up, Jones.
Pity me, Dirk. He's all through.
Come on,
you, Blinkhorn, get Jones out of here. I want him in the brig. He'll spend the rest of the boys there.
Oh, listen, Skipper.
You shut up. The rest of you get back to work. Do you understand? There'll be no more talk of mutiny aboard my ship. And we're making for Panama, so you can forget Papete.
Mr. Cregan, I want you on the bridge as soon as convenient. We'll need to check our supplies of fuel.
Ah, you can say that again. I think you made the right decision, Skipper. Our job is to get this ship to Jamaica. I don't reckon we could sail it there without a crew.
Well, at least Jones solved one problem for you, Skipper. If it means losing your crew, you can make for Jamaica with an easy conscience.
I'm sorry if you're disappointed, Kendall.
I'm not really. I've been after this killer too long to want anyone else to make the arrest.
But I don't understand, Dr. Lawler. I understood we were to be in Papete midday. And here it is, likely after two.
We're not going to Papete. Haven't you heard? The skipper's decided to head straight for Panama and then Jamaica.
But why? Surely we should be consulted.
And... Mr. Tuker, you're overlooking one thing. We're supposed to arrive in Jamaica on the 21st of September in order to collect our shares of the Fetterman estate. I understand from the captain that if we put into Papete, we wouldn't have been able to do that.
I fail entirely to see why not.
Oh, well, it's simple enough. There have been two murders on this ship. We'd have been held up by investigations and heaven knows what else. Yes, the skipper even doubted that we'd have a crew left.
You mean to say that they actually desert the ship?
Oh, I dare say. The crew were just as frightened as we are, you know.
What have they got to be frightened about, anyway?
Yes, I see what you mean. But Lee Blake wasn't the beneficiary, was he? But that didn't prevent his death.
I don't seem to be nearly as frightened as I was. Do you know that?
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
After all, it's easy enough to make quite certain that one is with somebody else for most of the time here.
Hmm. Is that why you came to my cabin?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you guessed right. Yes, it is. The major and his daughter are up on deck, you see.
Yes, well, would you care for a drink?
A drink? Oh, no, thanks. By the way, did you happen to hear about the fight, Dr. Lawler?
The fight? Oh, yes, I heard about the fight. I understand Mr. Kendall gave a pretty good account of himself.
Well, I see no need any time for that sort of violence, you know. It's so unnecessary.
Okay, it's just possible that kind of violence might be needed to save someone's life on the ship. Have you thought of that?
Oh, no, I haven't. Of course, in circumstances like that, it's different, I suppose. But still, as a general rule, I must say that, it's not really a very gentlemanly pastime, is it? You must agree with that. I mean, fighting with a crew, it's not gentlemanly, is it?
Tuka, I don't want to remind you of something you would undoubtedly rather forget, but how would you say it compared with, we'll say, poisoning as a gentlemanly pastime?
Poisoning? Oh, that. Dr. Thorne, I think you don't mind. Perhaps I will have that drink after all.
I had to come and find you, Dirk. I thought when I heard there'd been a fight, I thought you might have been hurt.
Well, my jaw feels a little blunt to something else, that's all. I told you before that...
Dirk Kendall. If you're going to warn me about my father again, don't bother. Yes. Surprising as it may seem, he didn't say anything.
I don't know. Is that good?
Well, let's forget about Father. Dirk, I want you to tell me why we're not calling at Papeete.
Skipper's orders.
Oh? Is that all you have to say?
No, there's a number of reasons for it, but...
Well, it's common talk, so you don't have to be so secretive.
Common talk? What is?
That the men were going to mutiny, and that you and Captain Goddard were afraid the ship would be delayed in Papeete. I'm glad you weren't hurt, Dirk.
So am I.
Dirk, when this is over, I mean, when the Tanga reaches Jamaica and the wherryman estate is settled, will you be going back to England?
When I find the killer I'm looking for, I suppose so, yes.
Dirk, do you have to be so... Well, stodgy. What I'm trying to say is...
Sharon, if you're in England, I'll be glad to go back.
You mean it, then?
Dirk!
Why does Dr. Lawler have to show up now?
A message from Major Challoner, Dirk. He'd like to see you in his cabin now. I'd say the old... Oh, pardon me, Miss Challoner. I'd say he's pretty worked up about something.
I'd been waiting for my next encounter with Major Challoner ever since Sharon mentioned that she'd told him she was coming to look for me. The ship steamed east-northeast from Tahiti, bound for Panama, as I went below. Major Challoner was prepared for a final showdown in this passage of the Tangmar.